Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. Maybe we can just bow and have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you for your word that was shared with us here this morning already, and just pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply those things to our own hearts and lives. Lord, we are here this morning to hear further from you. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with each heart this morning, that you would be with each one here this morning. I just pray that you would, again, that you would meet the needs that we have. I pray that the barriers that we have in our lives at times, I pray, Lord, that you would work through those, whether it's language or whether it's things in our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We know that you see each one of us. We know that you care about each one of us. And that's why we're here this morning, Lord. I pray this morning that you would be with those that are not here, that desire to be here, Lord. I pray that you would bless them, that you would keep your hand over them, minister to their needs, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We just want to commit this time to you and pray, Lord, that you would have your way. And Lord, we desire that you would receive all the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, for a title for my message, is on obedience. Obedience is simple, but it's not necessarily easy. Obedience, simple, but not easy. And maybe just to get our message started again here this morning, if there was some children that would be willing to come forward, and we'll just start by teaching some of the children and see if we can learn some things from that. Well, good morning. Is there room there for you? There. You need a place to sit? Yeah. Okay. So when we think of obedience, what does that mean to you? Anybody have any thoughts on that? What does it, Cameron? To do something, yeah. It means to obey what somebody else wants you to do. So if it means to do something that somebody else wants you to do, do we always want to do that? No. So what do we do if we don't want to do it? We have a decision to make. How many of you have, when your dad or your mom ask you to do something, you thought about it for a while and you weren't sure if you wanted to obey? Have any of you ever done that? We probably have all done that at a time. We wait for a while. Sometimes maybe we obey right away. The next time we it's like, well, I don't know if I really want to. Maybe we don't understand it. Does that give us a reason not to obey? Well, I'm going to tell you, read a story to you, and it's about fishing. How many of you have gone fishing? Have you ever caught any fish? You? Yeah. With Daddy's fishing rod. Daddy has a good fishing rod, doesn't he? Usually Daddy's fishing rods can catch fish at some point in time. How many of you have ever gone fishing for a long time and you didn't catch any fish? Yeah. And when you fish for a long time, do you still feel like going fishing? Sometimes. Okay. Well, in Luke chapter 15, in Luke chapter 5, here, going down to verse 4, here, and when he had left speaking, and this is talking about Jesus, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a draught. He was telling him to go fishing. And what did Simon say? He answered and said unto him, Master, we fished all night. So if you had been fishing for all day, and your dad said, I want you to go fishing again. Here, can you please not do that? Can you put your foot down? Thank you. And he said, I want you to go fishing. It's like, what, Dad? I was fishing all night. And I'm sick of it. I don't want to do it anymore. Simon said, he told him what they had done. And they had caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He trusted, he decided to obey Jesus, to trust him, and he did just what Jesus told him to do. And it says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. So many fish, they caught so many fish that their nets pretty much broke, and the boat started sinking. So isn't that amazing? Sometimes we're asked to do things and we don't understand why. And we're told to still do it. And so that's called obedience. In Acts chapter 5, there's another account here where the disciples had a decision to make. In verse 27, just going to read a couple of verses here. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. They had a decision to make here. Who were they going to obey? Were they going to obey man? Or were they going to obey God? And they chose to obey God. And those are things that we have to learn. In Genesis, Adam and Eve were told to do certain things. And in Genesis chapter 3, if you read the first part of that chapter, Adam and Eve were tricked. How were they tricked? Someone told them, God had told them to do something, and someone told them to do something else. Does anybody know what happened there? They disobeyed God. The serpent tricked them. When they were tricked and they disobeyed God, did God say, well, that was okay. You were tricked. We won't worry about it. No, they had to pay the consequences of their sin. God forgave them, but they had consequences and they had to leave the garden. So this morning, how important is it to obey? How important is it to obey? Very, yeah. It's important to learn that when we're young. Do we obey, try to obey the first time, or do we wait till the third time?
First.
Adam and Eve, they didn't obey the first time, and it cost them. It was painful. So what should we do if we're struggling to obey? If we know we should do something and we don't really want to, what is something we could do? We can pray. We can ask Jesus to help us. And so those are things that you can learn and work on. And if you learn those things well when you're little, then it will help you when you get bigger. So, okay. Well, thank you. You can all go back to your parents and hopefully you can remember those things. So, obedience is simple, but not easy. And I like that account there in Luke 5 where the disciples had been fishing all night. And Jesus came on the scene there and was spending some time there. And afterwards, he told them that they should go fishing. And those are the kinds of things that we're going to be faced with at in different ways. We're asked to do something and it's like, well, we've been working at that for forever, it feels like. And it didn't work. And Jesus comes along and starts knocking on our heart and saying, I want you to try again. What do we find ourselves doing in those situations? Do we argue? Do we argue our way out of the job and say, well, I already tried that and it had zero results? We see in that case there, the results weren't great. And when we listen to God's voice and we obey, that there's always going to be good results in our hearts and in the hearts around us. I'd like to turn to Numbers chapter 22 and look at this chapter. I've looked at the life of Balaam recently here, and we see his struggle here in this chapter, and I just like to go through this chapter and learn from this experience, and hopefully we can be encouraged and challenged as well. So in Numbers chapter 22, starting in verse 1, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So why was he so afraid of the children of Israel? We see that they were moving forward, and that they had just, the Amorites there had gotten in their way, and they weren't a threat to them, and the Amorites were, at least, I don't know exactly what took place there, but they defeated the Amorites. So why were they so afraid? Well, the Amorites, I believe, had also brought destruction on Moab and his people. And so if the Amorites weren't able to stand up against them, then surely they weren't able to. So they were distressed because of the children of Israel. They had a team that was coming up against them, a group of people, and they needed to do something. What were their options? To fortify themselves, to strengthen themselves, to find ways to be able to stand strong, to find God's favor, or else to try to destroy them. Verse 4, and Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. So obviously, we understand here, they saw that God's hand of favor was on these people, and his desire was to remove that. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balaam. They came with rewards. Why did they bring rewards? They wanted to probably make sure that he would come and do this. And he said unto them, verse 7 there, they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balaam. So they had conversation about this and told him what they were up against. And in verse 8 here, he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the prince of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? He asked him some questions. Would seem like he wanted Balaam to understand what's going on. And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. They wanted to drive them out. Verse 12 here, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. These people are blessed. And you can't go and curse them. So verse 13 here, and Balaam rose up in the morning, and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. They told him that he refused to come with them. Doesn't say that they told him why, but that he refused to come with them. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus sayest Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. A very big offer was presented to Balaam here to come and do a job, to curse these people. There was lots at stake here, it would seem. But verse 19 here, his answer was correct. Now, therefore, I pray you. Verse 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Balaam already had his answer from the Lord of what he was supposed to do. He couldn't curse these people, and he had sent them along their way earlier. But they came back. They weren't okay with that answer. And they enticed him even with more goods and honor. Verse 19, he says, well, now therefore I pray you, carry you also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Obviously, they had Balaam's attention. And Balaam knew that he couldn't do this outside of God. But it would seem, as we read between the lines here, Balaam really wanted to go. there was a lot of it, a lot desire that was desirable to Balaam to go. And God came unto Balaam in verse 20 at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. So here God said that he could go. Verse 21, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. He went. What do we see next? God's anger was kindled because he went. He allowed him to go, but God was not pleased with Balaam's decision. I'm sure that God saw Balaam's heart. He was looking out for himself, and he wanted to go. And so he went. It says that God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the animal to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a pass of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And again, we run into that. And the angel of the Lord, he thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And here, Balaam was again confronted, and it says that he got angry here. She fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Notice that Balaam was angry here, and strange things started happening, and he didn't even notice. He was not in a frame of mind to see God intervening through circumstances, and he was angry to the point that God started speaking to him through his animal here. Then in verse 31 there, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. An angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass thee three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. He pointed out that what he was wanting to do was not right. And the ass saw me and turned from me thee three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. We see Balaam talking and repenting here. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak. So Balaam went with the prince of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Aaron, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. So we see the journey of Balaam here coming to this place. And we see his desire to wanting to go, and God standing in the way in getting Balaam's attention. And we see his anger being kindled to the point that he didn't recognize what was happening. God was speaking to him through strange circumstances, through an animal, and Balaam never noticed. So I think something that we can learn from there is when our anger is kindled, that we maybe were not reasonable, we might want to stop and take note, why are we? Why am I so worked up? And it might be a sign of something. It's time to stop and just step back and evaluate what's really going on. And understand. So Balaam was here, and we know that he wasn't able to say anything other than blessings. And Balak wasn't happy with him, and he tried multiple times. And we think if we keep reading in these chapters forward, we see that Balaam eventually told him that, well, there are things you can do. And if you seduce the people, that might give you an advantage. And we also read that Balaam, I think, and go into chapter about 31, somewhere in there, that Balaam ended up dying with these people in battle. So we can see that his decisions took him places that he wasn't supposed to be. Obedience is simple, but not always easy. We look in the beginning of this chapter again, and we see them coming to Balaam, and Balaam seeking God for an answer, and he received an answer, and they left. But then they come back. They weren't okay with that answer. And they made the job looked more rewarding. It was a better deal for Balaam. And he really wanted to go. So would seem like he took the easy road, that appeared to be the easy road, and so to speak, got permission from God to go. But God wasn't happy with his decision. Just a couple of verses that I'd like to look at in the New Testament that talks about Balaam. One is in 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5, 15, and 16. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Here, we, in this verse here, it really points out what Balaam was after. He was after his own. He was looking after himself. In Jude, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Balaam was chasing a reward, and if we look at that account, Balaam was trying to do it in the disguise of obedience. Trying to do it in the disguise of obedience. But God knew what Balaam was after. Obedience is simple, but our heart needs to be in it. If we're just doing it in a disguising way to make ourselves look good, God sees right through that. And he points that out in these verses. And then in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. His desire was to bring destruction to the people. Balaam, his way was greed. His error was compromise. His doctrine was betrayal and corruption. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, just talks about these kinds of people, tells us to be aware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. They are not looking to help the people that they're around, but rather they're looking out for themselves. And if we look at the life of Balaam, we can see very clearly what his intent was. So in these chapters in Numbers, we see what happens with the Israelites when they were strong, when they were following Christ, when they were following God. They won battles. In Numbers chapter 22, their enemies were afraid of them. They had a reputation. They were known as God being with them. What happened when they forgot about God? What happened to the Israelites when they forgot? We see that fear caused them to question God. In some places, they desired to return to slavery, back to their old ways. It wasn't worth it. They found themselves murmuring and complaining. They weren't able to enter the promised land because they were afraid of the giants. Sounds like a very different people than what we see in Numbers chapter 22 in the first three verses. And how different it is when we're walking with God. Walking in obedience, in simple obedience, trusting. Not trying to disguise it in any way, but just doing what they were told to do. And so we see the difference there in how their enemies shriveled before them because they recognized that God was walking with them, and how confident they were versus when they weren't, when they forgot about God and were relying on their own doings. It changed, the picture changes drastically. So I'm back again to obedience isn't complicated. It's simple. We often, when it's placed before us, we know what we're supposed to do. But we often find ourselves getting in the way. And it can be the simple little things that the disciples faced when Jesus came to them and said, go fishing. And we're just like, what? Do you know what happened? I've been doing that for a long time. And it was a waste of my time. It didn't work. What do we do with those things? Do we reason them away? And it's like, it wouldn't work again. Obedience is simple, but not easy. We don't understand what God is doing often till afterwards. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 in closing, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. So the call is, as we're faced with these things, is to trust God and not to lean on our own understandings, our own abilities, because they will fail us. May God bless each one of you.